Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Obias. A classic case of old media things popping up as new and it turning into a thing again. I'll explain it a little bit. You are listening to the OG. We'll also tell you about what the Carolina Hurricanes did right. Now, they got to do it again. We'll explain. Let's log on to the internet. It's brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
All right, so before the Orange Bowl last year, when Carolina was there, Sam Howell has this revelation that he's never tried steak or had a hamburger before, and that the only meat that he eats is chicken. This news came out again. The Washington media had a little bit of, you know, like, let's get to know Sam Howell.
Yeah.
New quarterback, fifth round pick, you know. And it was like, whoa. You've only had chicken?
Only has chicken.
And there's not a great explanation as to why he's never had steak or hamburger or other meats or seafood. But it's chicken for Sam Howell. So I looked up the menus at the Angus Barn.
As you looked up the menus real quick, more to the story. He'll apparently, I did not know, because I think Mark Armstrong, former news anchor here, now he's painting houses. Shout out to Mark Armstrong. Had put this out there back during the Orange Bowl, and apparently he brings chicken tenders to restaurants.
Right. Yes.
He's got like an emergency bow box.
Or team meals, I guess. Yeah.
Or something ready to go in moment's notice. And he'll go to nicer restaurants and order chicken tenders. Okay, I have no problems with that because I love chicken tenders. But anyway, you looked up the menu of some places around here.
So obviously you can't get chicken tenders at the Angus Barn.
They don't have a kids menu with chicken tenders on
it? They have a grilled pesto chicken, though, for $39.
Nah, that ain't getting it done. That's not chicken tenders.
All right.
Yeah.
If you go to Sullivan's.
So Sam Howell will go to Angus Barn and bring a box of bow.
So if you go to Sullivan's, you can get a herb brick chicken for $30.
That doesn't sound like chicken tenders to me. That just sounds like a brick chicken, they're good, but anyway.
I don't know what a brick chicken is.
Basically, you use a brick to press
cook?
And cook.
Oh, to press. Okay.
Yeah.
If you were morally opposed to meat.
Beer can chicken. Love that.
I get it. Right? If you're like, man, I can't put any of that stuff in my body.
Could be a texture thing.
But to never even have tried it. And then the seafood portion of this programming.
That I understand.
I don't.
Yeah, some people either don't like the texture or they can't get past the smell, man. But if you can, it's good.
So you're suggesting to me, though, that there is such a thing as high-end tenders?
Oh, absolutely. This is one thing that I've learned about doing radio with you for the better part of 2 years. You're not familiar with taking comfort food and leveling it up.
Right.
Okay? Because I could make the argument that why is pizza the only... Because I associate pizza as comfort food.
Okay.
And there's levels to pizza. I'm going to put this on your level. You're the pizza guy.
Yeah.
You love pizza.
I do.
There's levels to pizza, are there not?
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to equate Anthony's Oakwood Pizza Box with Elio's. However.
Right.
However.
Same family.
Both pizzas have their role. If I want a really good New York-style pizza, I'm going to go to Oakwood Pizza Box. If I've had one too many... And it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I need to stuff my face with something.
You're putting
what hits
in this toaster oven.
That Elio's is going in the toaster oven. Maybe it's Totino's. I don't know. You might have your trash pizza of choice. I have no idea. I'm an Elio's
Stouffer's.
Guy.
Stouffer's.
Red Baron.
Elio's is, yeah.
So there is your spectrum. Same thing with mac and cheese. We had this conversation about mac and cheese. There's Kraft mac and cheese, which has its time and place.
Right.
Shout out to the Knorr's packets. You know, like you've seen those, right? The green packets.
Yeah.
But then there's Ashley Christensen and her incredible mac and cheese. I forgot how much it's going to cost, but it's a different level of mac and cheese. The same applies to tenders. Now, on the fast food level, you'll see a wide range of tenders. So there are fancy tenders. Is chicken parmesan not a chicken tender?
I think you have me on a technicality there.
Chicken parmesan is just one big old tender.
I think you have me on a technicality.
It's the fanciest chicken tender you can get.
And it's delicious.
Our guy Jonas Pope pointing out the Flying Saucer has high-end tenders. I feel like we're going to have to go on a road trip. We're going to have to go on a road trip, Joe. We're going to have to go find you some high-end tenders because they do exist.
I love the saucer.
Yeah. Have you ever had their chicken tenders?
They have delicious wings.
But have you had their chicken tenders?
I just...
See, you haven't tried them yet. But again, there's levels of tenders. Because for me, we go to the Wegman a lot, right?
Yes.
Wegman's has high-end frozen chicken tenders. Try them. Those hit at 1 o'clock in the morning after I've had too much. Those are good. You put that with a little... Sometimes I go for the Old Bay hot sauce.
Okay, now, I get the pizza analogy. I'm following all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't chicken?
No, this is the breading. And there's also the cut of chicken that you get, too.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, there's a different cut of chicken. Like, I can take you to a fast food restaurant, give you four different versions of chicken tenders, and you'll see the quality difference depending on where you go. And a price point that goes along with it. Just expand your palate, man. Chicken tenders. There's a range. Ranged chicken
feels
tenders.
Like an oxymoron. High-end chicken tenders.
There's high-end everything now. There's high-end burgers.
Right.
I mean, how much? What's the most you've ever spent on a burger?
But isn't there a different in grade in meat? In theory?
In theory.
Okay.
Yeah, I love to tell the story of my cousin working at a restaurant in Miami where the key ingredient to their lobster mac and cheese was Velveeta. And they were charging like 40-some-odd dollars for it.
Because of the lobster.
They used the Velveeta for consistency.
Oh.
So... But it had
Velveeta.
It had Velveeta in it.
It's actually not cheese, but that's okay.
That's sure. It's a block of cheese product that I could buy at the store. That will last forever. But they're charging me $40-some-odd for it. Well, because it's used.
I could be talked into the saucer's tenders. I think I like the saucer.
Also from Tim, getting a shout out to Jay Alexander's. I think that's over by the mall, over by Crabtree. I think Jay Alexander's over by the mall. They have high end chicken tenders too. I think we're going to have to go on a field trip, Joe. Maybe you and Rand can invite me out to lunch for once, and then we'll actually go get high-end chicken tenders.
We'll just tell you about it.
Cool, thanks. Mm-hmm. Next up.
You said no anyway.
Number four.
Hey, if you told me you're getting some chicken tenders, I'm in. All right, I love some chicken tenders.
It's part of the bit now, OVS. We just have to.
Yeah. Sure. So, are you familiar with EA Sports FIFA, the soccer game?
Yes.
Well, unfamiliarize yourself with it, because apparently EA Sports and FIFA could not come to a new agreement. So the soccer game that has sold countless copies and has a robust eSport around it, it's going to be changed to, wait for it, EA Sports FC, because everything has to be FC.
That's terrible.
Apparently, there was a difference of about $1 billion between FIFA and EA over the naming rights. So EA put out a statement saying that everything you love about our games will be part of EA Sports FC, the same great experiences, mode, leagues, tournaments, clubs, athletes will be there. The company wrote in its announcement, modes like Ultimate Team, Career, Pro Clubs, Volta all remain alongside licenses with Premier, La Liga, Bundesliga, and all the players, teams, and stadiums that are contained therein. But while they're claiming they're not going to lose anything from the shift from FIFA to EA Sports FC, EA Sports did say that that the international aspect of it will not be a part of it. So the name change won't take effect until 2023. EA Sports still has FIFA 23 coming out later this year. So maybe you're going to have yourself a collector's item, the last FIFA game on EA Sports. This happens to EA Sports from time to time. Remember, they had Tiger Woods for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
They lost that license with Tiger Woods, and it just became PGA Tour, whatever. They had an agreement with UFC for a while, and they just changed it to like an MMA thing. And you're going to see something similar eventually when EA Sports relaunches their college football game. My guess is that they'll still now, as everybody's interested in name, image, and likeness, they'll go about the business of getting all the proper licenses. But there was nothing stopping EA Sports from producing a college football game. I mean, you can go back and play the old Bill Walsh college football game on the Sega Genesis. NC State, you know how NC State is listed in the game? From 1993, I think it is. Raleigh. This is Raleigh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you fire it up because I know we got it back in the cubicle. If you play Bill Walsh, They don't have the actual licenses for the schools. So when you play as NC State, they're just this team from Raleigh, a red team from Raleigh. North Carolina is North Carolina because it's generic. So there you go. Next up.
Number three.
Man, we're getting all sorts of suggestions for high-end chicken tenders.
Yeah, another one
Joe.
For me?
Yeah, apparently Bad Daddy's Burger Bar. That's a place that Sam Howell could eat. Bad Daddy's Burger Bar has high-end chicken tenders.
Don't you feel like, though...
You want Angus Barn to serve chicken tenders.
No, that's what you're telling me. No, it's not that.
Okay.
Like, morally, don't you feel
morally?
Like... Morally?
Morally?
Don't you think at some point there's, like, a price point for a tender?
No, the limit does not exist.
I'm not going to lie to you. There was a certain famous chef who opened up a chicken place, and I thought to myself, Bojangles is better. And it's cheaper. Because Joe, it's chicken.
Was this
you can't there's only so much you can do with the quality of the meat.
Was this a guy who opened up this chicken place?
I will not specify.
Was it a guy?
I will not specify. But what I'm getting at is like who's the real sucker here?
David.
If we end up paying $25 for high end chicken tenders.
David.
Like who's the real loser here? Who, like, aren't I better off in the world where high-end chicken tenders don't exist? Doesn't Cookout have a chicken tender option?
Yes,
as a side,
they do. Yeah, and I low key,
isn't that like $6?
The Cajun wrap at Cookout.
Okay,
they stuff a chicken tender in that.
That is a tender.
That's a tender.
Okay,
see where I'm getting at now.
I'm with you now.
All right,
I'm feel you now.
I don't know where you can spend $25 on tenders, though.
I bet you one of these places that you're suggesting is getting us close.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, number three. Reset that rant.
Number three.
Okay.
Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson, they want to go play on the LIV Tour.
Mm-hmm.
They want to actually do that and still retain their PGA Tour membership. PGA Tour says no.
No, you can't.
We told you you couldn't do that. And now that this event in London is upcoming, we still haven't changed our mind. So it's choose. If you'd like to go play on another tour, that's fine. But then you will not be able to play on the PGA Tour or the events such as the Ryder Cup or President's Cup that are associated with the PGA Tour.
What I find interesting in this stalemate between certain golfers of a certain age and a certain position right now on the PGA Tour isn't between the PGA Tour and said golfers. Like, it's not about the, to me, it's not about the PGA Tour versus Phil Mickelson or the PGA Tour versus Sergio Garcia. Because if you're the PGA Tour, you're probably looking, especially with somebody like Sergio Garcia going, okay, bye. Because I understand I'm not immersed in the world of golf, but on the surface level, I've never seen anybody go, hell yeah, man, I can't wait for this PGA Tour stop. Pinehurst, whatever. That's a U.S. Open event. I'll use Quail Hollow in Charlotte for the PGA Championship, right? I don't think when I went in 2017 that people were there because, damn it, we got to see Sergio. There was a commercial for a long time. Let's go see Sergio! I think it was like a Bud Light commercial. Nobody literally ever said that for Sergio Garcia at a golf event. Nobody's clamoring like, hey, hurry up in the merch tent. Because I got to go see Sergio off the tee box.
I've got to go see Sergio in his 78 warm-up shots and waggle 68 times.
Nobody's
before
doing
he swings.
That. Nobody's doing that.
All right. That's
Phil,
fair.
Phil, yes.
Yeah.
Not Sergio. But what I find more interesting than this back and forth.
Not Jason Cockrock?
No.
Okay.
Or Lee Westwood, for that matter, is the younger golfers who are part of the PGA Tour telling these guys, fine, go.
Yeah.
Like Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas said this. He hopes the PGA Tour's decision to deny conflicting events releases for the first events in the Saudi Arabian-backed LIV Tour will prevent players from going to London next month. Quote, I hope it would deter them from going over there. If the PGA made it clear from the start that this would happen, I think a lot of people are probably like, I can't believe you did this. Wow, you went through with this. But this is what he said. This is what the PGA Tour said was going to happen all along. It's one of those things where he just doesn't want a competing tour, the back and forth. So if you're in or you're out, that's basically Justin Thomas's attitude. That I find more interesting.
Only a Sith thinks in absolutes, Joe.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
I don't know what he's doing, but I'm very proud of myself for that.
Are people calling in about chicken tenders? Are you getting suggestions, Rand? Kinda, sorta. Okay, fair enough. I got people telling me about the O'Malley's tenders. Ashley's.
No, wait a second. I was just at O'Malley's.
Apparently, they got chicken tenders.
Okay, again, no.
I know level. There's levels to it. All right, next up.
Number two.
If Christian McCaffrey were a chicken tender, would he be a high-end chicken tender?
He would be.
Or a medium-grade chicken tender? Yeah, he would be a high-end chicken tender. You'd think you could get some value for that chicken tender, right? Well, apparently the Carolina Panthers did not want to entertain any particular value added from trading Christian McCaffrey. Now, going into the draft, there were some reports that teams were calling the Carolina Panthers about Christian McCaffrey. At that time, it made sense because the Panthers needed draft capital. Obviously, he's an asset that can bring some draft picks in, you know, fill that gap between the first and the fourth round, which was the issue for the Panthers going forward. Hey, maybe he could actually be part of a deal to get a quarterback. Remember, there was some talk about Kirk Cousins, maybe even Jimmy Garoppolo. What's the carrot with Christian McCaffrey? But obviously, everything fizzled out related to Christian McCaffrey, and I put it to the side. Adam Kaplan of NFL.com reported today that the Buffalo Bills, because of course the Buffalo Bills would be the ones to call the Carolina Panthers about a Panthers player, given their front office connections to the Panthers back in the day, they apparently called the Carolina Panthers interested in making a deal for Christian McCaffrey. The Panthers straight up said he's not available, and I find that odd. Knowing your needs, would you at least entertain the idea? If the report came out that the Buffalo Bills called up the Carolina Panthers, had an offer, and the Panthers said, that's not good enough, bye, got it. But to not even entertain, to basically say he is not available, is flabbergasting to me, given what the Panthers need on top of Christian McCaffrey's inability to stay on the field. And I'm not using that as a knock. I'm simply pointing out what we've seen out of Christian McCaffrey and a problem for the Carolina Panthers, where if he's not healthy, that team falls apart. Get better, please.
You're thinking logically here.
I know.
That's fine.
I know.
But David Tepper already gave you this answer. When he was asked about Sam Darnold and his faith in Sam Darnold, he didn't say, oh, Sam is great. What he said was, when number 22 was healthy in those first three games, Sam was pretty good.
Yeah.
So he was asked a question about player A, and his answer was, yeah, but Christian McCaffrey. So that's your clue right there. I wouldn't blame this one on Scott Fitterer. I would say this one came from the top.
I don't like it. Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
Carolina Hurricanes, Boston Bruins game 5 last night at PNC Arena. The Carolina Hurricanes took care of business. Could not ask for a better game out of the Hurricanes. From key guys that had some interesting moments, like Tony DeAngelo, who was 3 points last night for Tony DeAngelo. Seth Jarvis had 2 goals, including one that I'm still not quite sure how that worked out for it to be a goal. They answered the bell. You call it a pride game. And you knew the Hurricanes, based on what we had seen from the regular season, based on how they played on Sunday, would not allow that to happen again. And I was impressed by the way they answered the bell Tuesday night.
I would say in particular in the first period, Joe, because much of the first period was 5-on-5, the way that the Canes want it played. They get the early goal from Jacob Slavin, and then they back that up with the power play goal from Tony DeAngelo. The power play was a disaster in Boston. For it to be set up so early and to get the goal the way that they did, established, look, this isn't the bad version of the Canes. This is the good version of the Canes. Second period plays out. Jarvis gets this kind of cockamamie goal. Once it was 3-0, in my own mind, the game was over. Jarvis gets another power play goal, start the third. Then it was really over. Just a dominant performance. Antti Raanta made a spectacular save on Brad Marchand in the first period. Other than that, you see the big difference that a change can make.
Yes.
And when you have the last say in the change, mm-hmm. when you're the home team, and Rod Brendamore is able to put Jordan Staal on the perfection line looked a whole lot better mm-hmm. in Boston when they had more favorable matchups.
Now, we'll put a pin in that and come back to it. Rod Brendamore, Carolina Hurricanes head coach, on the special teams, being the key differentiator in this series? Because we know 5-on-5, the Hurricanes have been better. They got production on the power play, and they did not put themselves needlessly in the box. Shockingly enough, the results were totally different.
Well, we seem to – it's weird. I think playoffs, you know, traditionally you always think of it being, you know, power play subs not as important, and especially because it's, you know, one or two a game. But now we've seen that they're, you know, who knows how many you could get. So it's so important when we've talked – beat this to death about this thing. So – I mean, it was nice that, you know, we only had to kill a couple, or actually ended up being probably, was it three, maybe four,
three,
still three too many, but, you know, it was nice. The power play got going a little bit. And so that was a big part of the game.
That was Rod Brindamore, Carolina Hurricanes head coach, with the special teams last night. Tony DeAngelo was throwing pucks at the net instead of throwing sticks. That was a key difference in last night's game. And Rod Brindamore was asked about any conversations with Tony DeAngelo, who basically got by Brad Marchand on Sunday.
Hmm. Well, we have lots of conversations. I'll just leave it at that.
So you told him to reel it?
Told him to let her rip. especially bar down.
Yeah, there you go. There's Rod Brindamore on Tony DeAngelo. DeAngelo was asked about his play doing the talking rather than getting into needless troll matches with Brad Marchand. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are trying to stir it up a little more than me. I'm not very worried about it. I think the Boston media might be a little angry tonight, but that's okay.
It's Tony DeAngelo. I mean, nobody was stirring up anything, man. You got by Brad Marchand. You tossed your stick at him at the end of the game. Nobody stirred up anything. That's what happened, okay? That's what happened. We could be adults about this. We can. You could own up to it, and you learn the lesson and you bounce back. Because that's the takeaway from last night, that the Carolina Hurricanes, if they just played their game, they would be fine. It's that process, right? And it also, I think, the way they played last night. Ronta absolutely should be the first star of last night's game, but I still maintain in this particular series, it doesn't matter who's in net, because we've seen good play from both goalies. Ronta, great last night, but we also have seen Kochetkov be good in this series. They didn't lose in Boston because of goaltending. They lost those two games specifically on Sunday because they did not play their game. They did needless things and allowed Boston to take advantage of it. None of that happened last night, which gets us to Thursday. It's a different team at home. If you're going to go far in the playoffs, I mean, not to be a cliche machine here, but they're not all going seven with home ice advantage. You're gonna have to show that you can close this thing out on Thursday. Otherwise, the next rounds, my confidence level is gonna drop. Like same with goaltending, right? Like in this series, Ronta or Kochetkov, fine.
Yeah,
that might not be the case in the next series, and why I think they've been slow walking Freddie Anderson's return.
I agree.